Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk, intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of The Drift. Beautiful Saturday. Joining me not in studio, Derek Stone. Yeah, I can't hear you, Derek.
Great to hear you, Gary. Great to be here, Gary. I'm sorry about that.
So we've lost our Drake for the day. He's out having fun. So if he's out there listening, I hope you are tipping a few for us, my good man. So as always, nice to be in the studio. Let's take care of a little business. This half hour will be sponsored by The Current. Now, if you haven't gotten this month's Current, you get your little hiney out and find a copy somewhere, or go online to currentonline.com. That's currentonline.com. And if you want to get into the June edition, which is always probably one of our biggest editions, you can call me, 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Okay, so what we do on The Drift every Saturday is talk about the news of the week that I put on The Daily Drift. So you can go to thedailydrift.com. That's www.thedailydrift.com. So I work very hard every day to put that stuff on there and get it squared away for you. So read it, learn it, educate yourself, and be ready to discuss rationally the situations going on in the world today. So the big news, I think, this week was the death sentence for Jokhar Tsarnaev. Are we saying that right, Derek? I can't remember.
I've heard it pronounced Tsarnaev.
Tsarnaev, yes. I think that's more like it. So, and would like to get the opinion of the listeners if you're out there. Is it worth spending the money putting him on death row? Is it not worth putting him on death row and keeping him in prison forever? I don't know. You know, I go back and forth on this myself. So 734-822-1600. And we had Matt last hour. Derek, do you have that track that Matt gave you? There was something when Matt was playing that kind of struck me. And if you can play that again, we'll pull that out because it really bothered me. I'd heard it before, but I didn't hear it until, listen to it really, until I was listening to Matt. And it struck me. So go ahead and play that.
The defendant claimed to be acting on behalf of all Muslims. This was not a religious crime, and it certainly does not reflect true Muslim beliefs. It was a political crime designed to intimidate and to coerce the United States.
Okay, so if it's not a religious crime, is that a kind of an admission on the part of them that Islam is not even a religion? Is Islam just a political doctrine that is being used under the guise of religion? So it bothered me and struck me pretty hard today listening to that. So again, something for other people to make judgments on, but for Jokhar Tsarnaev, I think I got it that time, it's going to be probably another 20 years before he meets his fate one way or the other with the amount of money and time and appeals that will be put on his behalf in the court system. I'm not sure I understand why in a case that is as clear-cut as these that we allow repeated appeal after appeal after appeal for these people before they can actually be put to death. I think that's more torturous for them than it is just putting a bullet in their head or electrocuting them or putting them to the chemicals one way or the other. So call in 734-822-1600 and give us your story, or your opinion, sorry. And the first thing I wanted to talk about today was the GOP is getting hammered by the left for being against a move in the legislature in the Congress about letting illegals serve in the military. And they're calling the GOP xenophobic. Xenophobic. Now, I'm all up for people who legally immigrate and may not yet be citizens joining the military because they've been vetted. And I think it's a good way for people to get their citizenship. But it bothers me when somebody who's so willing to break the law and sneak into our country would then decide to join the military, and you don't know these people. They haven't been vetted. Now, there may be a difference there when you talk about a child that was brought here 20 years ago by their parents illegally. If they can be proved that they've been here for 20 years, even if it's illegally, I think that's a different case than somebody who walked across the border 2 years, 3 years, or 5 years ago. So again, it's one of those things. You just never know who it is that's going to be joining the military. And when we have guys on the front lines in Afghanistan, in Syria, in Iraq, do you really want to trust somebody that you don't know, somebody who may have only been in the country for a couple of years and been here illegally? Do you want them watching your back? I don't think our men and women in military would actually want that either. So something to think about. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to discuss something about schools and the lack of discipline that we're finding in schools. So 734-822-1600. Call in. Thanks.
To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown 600% since 2007 because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies apiece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current, at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
Do you still believe in your neighbors? Are you surrounded by a world where doors stay locked and windows shuttered? Where streets that once rang with bike bells and shouts have gone empty and silent? So how do you know who the good guys are? Well, consider this. Which sticker on your new neighbor's truck says the most about him, inspires the most confidence and trust? A sports logo? A radio station? Or these three letters? Few symbols speak so clearly and proudly about what you stand for and who you are. A good guy. Someone who believes in community and country, who you can trust to act when others would not. We're the 5 million men and women of the National Rifle Association of America. And if you're one of the good guys too, join us.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of The Drift. So we were talking this last segment about the GOP being called xenophobic by the Democrats in Congress. And there's something called the Gallego Amendment. I hope I'm pronouncing that wrong. Sponsored by freshman Representative Ruben Gallego. Gallego? Maybe that's how it is. An Iraq war veteran. The amendment was attached to the National Defense Authorization Act Wednesday night with bipartisan support from members of the House Armed Services Committee. This proposal will encourage the Pentagon to examine whether certain immigrants who are in the country illegally to serve in the military, whether that would strengthen national security or not. Now, I don't know that it would strengthen national security. And again, I guess it comes down to how they're detailing who is and who isn't allowed to join. Representative Mo Brooks, a Republican from Alabama, the sponsor of the GOP amendment, warned ahead of the vote that allowing illegal immigrants to serve in the military would undermine opportunities for U.S. citizens. Well, that goes back to the basic premise of immigration anyways in this country. We allow, I think, more people into this country than all the other nations in the world combined for immigration. And we wonder why We have such problems with wage, loss of wages, medium wages not moving, people being unemployed, having the largest number of people out of the workforce since the early 70s. That is in part due to immigration. I mean, if you're going to continue to allow people in, it's just the market forces not allowing people to get their wages up because there's too many people. The more people you have, the less you have to pay. More people will be willing to work for less. So at some point, you have to draw the line. And I've said before on this show a million times that, you know what, I think even the most hardcore anti-immigration people would be willing to at least rationally discuss pathways to legal status or even citizenship if you were to seal the border, our southern border anyways, and get it under control so that you know who is coming in and who is not coming in. It doesn't make any sense to do anything, and I don't understand why. The common sense is not there in Washington or in any of the governors, the states along the southern border, why they won't find a way to seal those borders up. You can't just keep letting people pour across the border. And now more than ever, because we don't know if those people coming across the border are actually just people looking for a better life or people who have purposes that are bad for our country. There was a report out last week that for the first time ever, we actually have more Chinese people immigrating to the United States than from Mexico. And once again, if you're looking at long term, what is the prospects of the United States? Are all the people coming from China here thinking they want a better life and that they want to become Americans and live a good, honest life? Or is there something more to it? Again, it's me, Conspiracy Gary, Conspiracy Saturday, thinking that, you know, I guess I have a healthy dose of paranoia, and if that's good or bad, I don't know, but it's something I've always had in the back of my mind. So it bothers me that people would call the GOP xenophobic for just having a little healthy, what I think is a little healthy paranoia. And I don't know. If you got an opinion on that, feel free to call in 734-822-1600. Now, I was alleging, trying to get a phone call that from a friend of mine who's an ex-principal, school principal, and who's quite educated in the field of educating our children. And there was an article that I put on The Drift this morning, and it's entitled, Oakland Kids Who Cuss Teachers Out Will No Longer Need to Fret About Getting Suspended. Students in public schools in Oakland, California, well, there you go, Oakland, California, will no longer face suspension if they swear at teachers or ignore teachers' instructions or tell teachers off or decide to spend time texting instead of paying attention in class. Derek, what would have happened to you in school had you told off a teacher, cussed out a teacher, or didn't do your homework or take instructions properly?
Oh, I would have at least gotten detention after school, I know that.
Exactly. Or a SWAT. In our day, we took the SWAT. That was, sometimes they gave us a choice. You can go to the principal's office, which meant a phone call to your parents, which meant a SWAT at home, or you could just go outside the classroom door and the teacher would pull out the paddle that he had proudly displayed in the classroom and would give us the paddling. You know, and I'm, call it corporal punishment, but for me, it wasn't the pain. I think in elementary school, that may have worked. By junior high, it's not the pain. You're a big enough boy or girl to take a paddling from the teachers. It's not like they were out to really hurt you. It was the embarrassment, I think. It was that pressure of your peers saying, look at you bending over, taking a paddling. You know, that it was the embarrassment at that point that got people to start behaving properly. And we don't do that anymore. I mean, I'm sure part of it is the fact that so many kids nowadays don't have a father or mother or both at home is what's causing this lack of discipline. But for the school system to continue, it's one thing to stop doing corporal punishment. They're going to be politically correct. That's fine. But now they're letting them get away with anything they want. Board members of the Oakland Unified School District voted to phase the punishment out over the next year because of concerns that black students are disproportionately suspended for such misbehavior. That's being reported by the San Francisco Chronicle. So Oakland School District is a pretty black school district. If you're not familiar with the area, it's just north of San Francisco, northwest, I think. And it's a blue-collar neighborhood. And, of course, many of these kids are single-parent families. And so they're obviously not getting the discipline. They're not getting the mentoring. They're not getting the role modeling that they need to be successful members of a school. And at that point, they were relying on the school for that mentoring and for that role modeling. And now they're not even getting it, because if you can walk into a classroom and tell the teacher to F off or whatever you're going to do, what does that say to the rest of the kids who might actually want to be there? They're not going to get their education. He just disempowered the teacher from teaching anything in a classroom like that. They go on to say that expulsions for willful defiance, as well as forcing students to change schools, will also come under the ban on punishment. So now you can't even throw the kids out of school. What's next? The kids are going to walk in and beat the heck out of the teacher and not get disciplined for it? We're not going to transfer them. We're not going to discipline them. We're not going to make them stay after. It's just unbelievable, frankly, that a school district could do something as heinous as it. These board members must be just jokes, frankly, to be allowing this kind of stuff to happen. A California state law already bans willful defiance suspensions for all public students in the third grade and lower. All right, so a third grader, maybe they've got issues. I'm just mystified that all it tells me is that when I lived in California, I made a decision to leave. And this was back in the early 90s. And the economy wasn't good in California then. I don't think it's any better now. But I'm glad I left. And one of the reasons I did leave, Derek, was I didn't want to raise a family there. Little kids out there were disrespectful. I don't know if I ever told you this story. I would go surfing. I went to California to learn to surf and took a job. And little kids, you know, 11, 10, 12, 13 years of age. And at that time, I think I was in my 30s. And they were the most disrespectful little buggers you could imagine. It was just incredible the way they would talk to adults, including myself. And I just thought to myself, there's no way I would bring my kid up in an environment like this. There's something definitely wrong with the state of California. And I'm sure I'm drawing a broad generalization. I'm sure there's a lot of good kids out there as well. But I think it comes down to the culture that you're seeing in California, which will cause this kind of thing. It's just totally blows my mind that a school district, and I don't know who these board members are. It doesn't say in the article, but it is something for us to remember back here, because I think about students that I see in schools, and including my own children, and the stories that come home from them about kids who act up and how it affects the classroom. My son will talk about particular students who act up and the teacher has to take them out. Well, that's costing time from the good students when they have to drag a kid out in the hall, go talk to the principal about it. It's not right. It's not fair to the students. It's not fair to the good ones. And sometimes you have to separate the wheat from the chaff. And if that means expulsions or suspensions, you certainly need to do that. So, well, let's move on, and I'm going to give some kudos out. I put it in an article in the Drift and called it "Hell Hath Froze Over," because today I'm going to say something I don't think I've ever said, Derek. Congratulations to Senator Gary Peters, and congratulations to Senator Debbie Stabenow, because in my opinion, this is only my opinion, they voted correctly this week to ixnay the fast track for the Pacific trade agreement that Barack Obama and the Republicans were trying to push through Congress. And there was an article on the news this morning about 60% of Michiganians don't even know who our U.S. senators are, which maybe is a good thing. But I don't want anyone to say that I've never said anything good about our Democratic senators. They did vote to not fast-track this Pacific trade agreement. And for me, there could be good things in that agreement. I don't know. But it's the fact that I don't know, that they're hiding it and not letting people see what's in it before they pass it or give Obama the power to pass this. That's what bothers me the most. So make sure that you remember Gary did say something nice about our Democratic senators, because I'm sure there are people saying I'm nothing but a right-wing GOP pundit who does nothing but help the Republicans. Let me assure you, I'm as tough on the Republicans, I can be anyways, as I am on the Democrats. So make sure you give them a phone call and let them know that you agree with their stance against the Pacific Trade Agreement. Because when you think about it, if there is something good in there, let us know what it is. If there's something bad, we also want to know, because look what happened with NAFTA. NAFTA didn't do the United States, I think, any good at all. If you want to talk about the demise of our manufacturing status here in this country, NAFTA, I think, is in part responsible for it, because I don't think they thought NAFTA through. And so all you union guys that are out there, you support the Democrats, make sure you get on the horns and let your leaders know and let your senators know that the Pacific Trade Agreement needs to be well thought out before anything is entered into. I don't think this is the Republicans are saying it's good for business and it's going to create jobs. I'm not so sure I believe that, especially when you're not showing us what's in there. So definitely do get active politically. Call your state U.S. senators and tell Stabenow and Peters you agree with the decision they made and how they voted, and to continue that stance until we see what is in that Pacific Trade Agreement. Okay, so we're going to lead on. Derek, I've got, I want to hit Clinton, and I want to hit Clinton pretty hard here. Do you got that first? Do we have time to do a track? Okay, I want to talk about our good friend Hillary Clinton, and still getting creamed in the press, but I found an article, a little video interview from, and this is new for me. Have you ever heard of a Kim.com, Derek?
No, I haven't.
No, okay. So Kim.com is the founder of Mega Upload. Now, even my stepson, who's a pretty young guy who knows all about internet stuff, wasn't sure of the name, but he did know what Mega Upload was. And this guy, Kim.com, I was telling him when I was watching the video this morning that this guy looks like the supervillain from Austin Powers or something. He's a fairly large man, and he's warning that Hillary Clinton has a pretty hard row to hoe coming up with this election. So if you've got time, Derek, let's go ahead and play that.
Look, I like these guys, you know. I look up to them. I think they are very brave. They're going through a very hard time, you know, and they chose to do that for the betterment of all of us. So, yeah, I love to talk to them.
So, you said you were going to bring the Internet Party to the U.S. in 2016.
Yeah.
Why? What's your goal?
Well, because I think there's a big group of people out there that disagree with what's going on, you know? They want to have their privacy back. They want to have Internet freedom.
You tweeted that you were going to be Hillary's worst nightmare in 2016. How so?
Well, I have to say it's probably more Julian, but I'm aware of some of the things that are going to be roadblocks for her. So, you know, if I can provide some transparency with these people and make them part of what the Internet Party stands for, then, you know, I will be happy to do that.
You're saying Julian Assange is going to be Hillary's worst nightmare in 2016.
I think so, yeah.
How so?
Well, he has access to information.
What information?
I don't know the specifics.
Why Hillary in particular?
Well, Hillary hates Julian. She is just an adversary of, I think, internet freedom. And
okay, so I kind of like the guy's head, the way he's thinking. And whether you like Julian Assange, because he's part of that WikiLeaks, it's part of the Edward Snowden. There are things that we don't like about Julian Assange and what we don't like about Edward Snowden. But I think when we're talking about internet freedom, there's a different story. So, well, there we'll see you on the other side. We'll come back from the break and continue this discussion. See you in a minute.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Kay Long. A top ISIS terrorist commander dead following an overnight secret raid by U.S. Special Operations in eastern Syria. The Blaze Radio's Brad James with details.
The ISIS leader, Abu Sayyaf, was in charge of the terrorist group's oil and gas operations, which are critical to the financing of ISIS. Reports are the terrorist commander resisted being captured by U.S. Special Forces and was killed. The Pentagon saying Sayyaf's wife was captured in the raid and has been taken to Iraq for questioning. All of the U.S. troops involved in the operation were able to get out of Syria safely. Brad James, The Blaze News.
Boston Marathon terrorist bomber Johar Tsarnaev sentenced to death. But the execution likely to be years away as the case winds through the appeals process. A federal jury not buying arguments he's just a kid falling under the influence of his fanatical older brother. In weighing the arguments, the jurors deciding Tsarnaev showing a lack of remorse. More reaction to the actions of an ABC newsman, The Blaze Radio's Tom Peace.
When he said this on Jon Stewart, that people are giving money to the Clinton Foundation to buy access, that seems rather different in hindsight, doesn't it? George Stephanopoulos has himself raised the question of, like, were you buying access by giving this money? So I think he's still got a little bit more explaining in his future.
Charles Lane of the Washington Post on Fox News Special Report. ABC anchor and Clinton insider George Stephanopoulos donates $75,000 to the Clinton Foundation and doesn't disclose it to ABC News or his viewers. Stephanopoulos apologizing on ABC's Good Morning America.
I should have gone the extra mile to avoid even the appearance of a conflict. I apologize to all of you for failing to do that.
Tom Peace reporting. Boxing champion Evander Holyfield saying former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney can throw a jab. Holyfield praising the former Republican presidential candidate's skills after the two men square off for a charity boxing match in Salt Lake City. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Angel Wings for Angie was created in memory of Angela Martin. She was a loved sister, daughter, and friend to many. Angela was 25 years old when she died of an accidental opiate overdose on the morning of July 10, 2014. Angela struggled with an addiction problem for many years, but sustained many long and successful periods of sobriety. Angel Wings for Angie founders are focused on two main priorities. One, helping those addicted to opiates get their life back under control and out from the burdens of addiction. Two, creating awareness and educating as many people as possible of the dangers in all opiate-based drugs. Happy Sticks will be performing a free concert on May 30th from 8:30 p.m. till close at Uptown Grill and Commerce for the Angel Wings for Angie Benefit Concert Fundraiser. Donations welcome for two very good causes, Oakland County Fan and the Endeavor House. For more information, visit youcaring.com/nonprofits/Angel Wings for Angie Benefit Concert Fundraiser. Teens Using Drugs, What to Know and What to Do is a free ongoing two-part series. Part one provides information on how to recognize and understand adolescent substance abuse. Part two provides information on what should and should not be done to help when a teen's substance abuse problem is recognized, and concludes with a short talk by a young person in recovery. All presentations are free and open to the public. To learn more, call 734-973-7892 or visit teensusingdrugs.org.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch My Drift on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. And let's take care of a little business before we get started here. Our sponsor this half hour will be Susie's Seal Coating Incorporated. Now, if you haven't done your driveway, you probably need to think about it, because if you've got asphalt and you don't take care of it and maintain it, it will begin to break down, and it breaks down quite rapidly with the winters that we have here in Michigan. So preserve your asphalt investment. Get a rubberized sealer, patching, cracked filling, commercial striping if you got a commercial lot. concrete and asphalt tear-outs, small asphalt additions. It doesn't matter whether it's residential, commercial, or private road work. Susie's Seal Coating can do it all. 734-678-5041. Right now, you can get 20% off for spring. So any estimate that you get, you can get 20% off on it. The prices include cleaning and edging of your asphalt before they start working on it. So something that's important. Again, Susie's Seal Coating. Preserve your asphalt investment. 734-678-5041. Take care of that stuff. I did mine last year. I kept thinking about it. And like 3 years back, I had actually done my asphalt by myself. Derek went to Home Depot and bought all the stuff. I spent about three times as much as it actually cost me to have somebody come and do it, not including my own time that I put into it, because you just can't do it any cheaper than you can to have an actual commercial guy come out and do it. So make sure you give Susie's Seal Coating a call and tell them you heard it here on the Drift Radio Show. So we were talking about the 2016 election and the fact that Hillary, even though she hasn't even announced yet, has she, Derek? Oh, yes, she did. She did. She did the YouTube, whatever it was. She didn't do an actual meeting and a publicity thing. She just kind of put it out on YouTube. And again, I think it's her not being transparent. I don't think she wants to talk to the press. I mean, there's got to be just so much dirt that she's... I don't know how anyone can think she's actually going to run a campaign if you can't speak to the press because you know of all these crazy questions. I mean, would you vote for her?
No, I sure wouldn't. But I think why she isn't speaking to the press is because they're in basically in her back pocket. So many of them are anyway. So,
yeah, the feels that she doesn't have to answer any questions because they're already voting for like this Stephanopoulos, whatever that Matt was talking about earlier. Well, let's play this next track because I think. The worm is turning a little bit. Here's Alan Colmes. Now, if you don't know who Alan Colmes are, he used to be Hannity's partner on Hannity and Colmes way back in the day on Fox News. And it was a point-counterpoint type of thing. You had the Republican conservative, Sean Hannity, and Alan Colmes was the uber-liberal Democrat on the show. But even he is starting to turn against. So let's play the second track about Alan Colmes.
A month into her campaign, Hillary Clinton has taken a total of 8 questions from reporters that she mostly does not answer. And she's yet to do a sit-down, one-on-one interview. Meanwhile, we are learning the Clinton Foundation is still taking money from foreign donors despite a promise to stop that move. Alan Colmes, host of the Alan Colmes Radio Show, and Brad Blakeman's former deputy assistant to President George W. Bush. Gentlemen, good morning to both of you. With the breaking news, we have a truncated segment here today. She said she would stop. Apparently, it has not happened, and you have a
she's
problem with it,
She's got to answer questions. She's got to stand up and answer to the press, whether it's a news conference or an interview that is, or, and we said on Bill O'Reilly's show last night, I actually agreed with Bill, the FBI might want to look into this, that there was not a conflict of interest between her work as Secretary of State and any money that went to the Clinton Foundation.
You support that.
Absolutely.
I don't think you'd disagree with that.
I don't disagree, and I give Alan a lot of credit. It's the right thing to do. Even the appearance of impropriety by somebody who's running for president, who held high office as Secretary of State, whose husband was a former president, this doesn't pass the smell test, and any candidate, no matter who they are, Republican or Democrat, must have their business affairs looked at, not only by the public, but also by authorities if necessary.
I'd like to see her cleared, obviously, but I'd like to see full disclosure and transparency. None of this, I didn't inhale stuff going into
great reference there, Alan. You have this company in Morocco that's been on everybody's civil rights watch list. Yeah. Put $1 million toward the foundation last week to hold this event in Marrakesh. It doesn't end. I mean, this is bold.
What's the Clintons? What do you expect? And wouldn't you be disappointed
Is that acceptable?
No. And that's why we've got to get answers.
All right. So, totally unacceptable. And that's even coming from the left now, which I'm thanking my lucky stars that this is happening. Will it have an effect and will it have staying power? I don't know. But I can tell you this. This woman is not doing the American thing. She is not being forthcoming. She is literally lying. They've already said the Clinton Foundation would take no more money from the Middle East. And yet, here they just said another $1 million just given to the Clinton Foundation. How do they get away with this? As an American voting public, are we actually going to even consider allowing Hillary Clinton to run, let alone become president of the United States? Which, if she does run, there's a very good chance she may win. And yet, as American taxpayers, as American voters, we're not asking, we're not demanding information from this woman, information from Bill Clinton, information from the Clinton Foundation. Where is Barack Obama and his new Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, on this? Why is nobody literally putting this out there? Even the Republicans don't seem to be putting the effort into calling her on the carpet for this. What happened to Ted Cruz? Rand Paul? How come there's not more dismay from them to call her out and have her testify about what's going on here? That, if you're not going to bring charges, at least start an investigation into this. It's like we just listen to the news and it gets a pass. And then you listen to more of it in the news and then you get a pass. At how many times does she get the pass where she says, I'm running and I don't have to answer anybody's questions and I'm going to take the nomination and I'm going to take the presidency? And what happens then? How accountable will she be to us as president when we've done nothing to hold her accountable? Nothing. And even George Stephanopoulos, just weeks ago, grilling GOP candidates, and yet comes out today or yesterday stating he's sorry he gave money. He's not sorry he gave money. He worked for Bill Clinton way back in the day as a press secretary. And people just seem to let it go. It's okay. It's George Stephanopoulos. Pretty boy. He can be on ABC News. This has got to stop. As Americans, you need to stop saying in the polls, it's okay for her to run. We're going to support her. We can't support this kind of nonsense. I would rather have Elizabeth Warren, who I know is farther to the left than Hillary Clinton. I would rather have that honest, complete liberal running for office. At least it would be more of an honest campaign than something that we're going to get from the campaign of Hillary Clinton. Derek, let's take a break and I'll catch my breath, and we'll be back on the other side. See you in a minute.
All week long, your radio is glued to the best in talk radio from hosts like Bill Bennett, Stephen Crowder, Glenn Beck, Laura Ingraham, Theron X, Dana Lash, Jerry Doyle, and more. But the topical conversation doesn't end on Friday. On Saturday, Derek Stone brings you the Stone Cold Sports Truth from 6 to 6:30, followed by the Ember Wealth Show till 7. Don't miss the Abolitionists Roundtable at 7 a.m., followed by Joe Gannon, the Appliance Doctor, from 8 a.m. to 10. From 10 to 11, it's the Mutual Fund Show, easy financial advice. Then it's Trigger Talk with Dick Kupke at 11. At 12, you get The American Dream with Linda Hughes, followed at 1 p.m. by The Clark Cast with Matt Clark. At 2, it's Gary Wellings and The Drift with his trusty sidekick Drake. Relax with Ed Hoffman at 3 for Speaking of Art. Then turn it up for Theron's Saturday Night Rock and Rhythm Review. Weekends at Wham! You don't want to miss them.
There's only one thing better than a new Ford Mustang. That's the 2015 50th Anniversary Edition Mustang. It's one of four Mustangs you could win during Firekeeper's 50th Anniversary Mustang Mayhem. Just play your favorite slots and table games with your Red Hot Rewards Club card to earn entries. Then be here on Saturday, May 30th from 4 to 8 p.m. when we'll give away three 2015 Mustangs. Then it's the grand prize drawing at 10 p.m. when we give away the 2015 50th Anniversary Edition Mustang. It's a sleek and powerful celebration of 50 years of America's favorite pony car. And it's one of four new Mustangs you can win Saturday, May 30th only at Firekeepers. Get your Vegas on overnight at Firekeepers Casino Hotel. I-94 to exit 104 in Battle Creek. FirekeepersCasino.com. Management reserves all rights.
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. On Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch My Drift. on a beautiful Saturday afternoon, 734-822-1600. Give us a holler if you have anything you want to talk about or opinions on anything that we've talked about on this show or on the Daily Drift from this week. And again, if you haven't been going to the Daily Drift, www.thedailydrift.com is the website that I spend a lot of time putting information on for you so that you know what's going on in the world. It's the news you need to know. And share. You can also get on Facebook and Facebook friend me, or Google Plus, or Twitter. I'm on Gary at Gary Daily Drift, I think, is my Twitter. I'm still trying to figure out how to use that one. But we were talking about Hillary Clinton and the Clinton campaign and the Clinton Foundation, and there was an article I posted today. Most firms that gave to the Clinton Foundation also lobbied the State Department under Hillary Clinton's watch. Companies that lobbied the State Department during Hillary Clinton's tenure were much more likely to donate to the Clinton Foundation than corporations that were not attempting to influence the agency. A number of the major Clinton Foundation donors have defended their involvement by saying they gave to the controversial charity out of a sincere desire to do good. Most have dismissed suggestions that they did so to build political clout with the Secretary of State and potential future president. Well, of course they're going to do that. They'd go to jail if they didn't. If they admitted they were doing it to gain influence, they'd go to jail. So it's no surprise that they're going to deny it. Executives at many firms that were foundation donors wrote contemporaneous checks to Clinton's campaign and to lobbyists focused on the State Department, raising questions about whether the foundation could have served as another channel by which interested companies and individuals attempted to gain favor with the Clintons. A Washington Examiner analysis of Fortune 100 companies discovered donations to the Clinton Foundation were heavily concentrated among firms that also spent money swaying the State Department while Clinton was there. While exactly half of the corporations appear to have lobbied the State Department between 2009 and 2012, records show 55 of the firms donated to the charity. So it's pretty obvious there's a pattern of behavior. And this is exactly how they've gone after Senator Robert Menendez for his influence peddling, what alleged influence peddling. I'm not sure that there's any thing there or not, but they look for patterns of behavior. And there's far more of this pattern going on with the Clintons than Bob Menendez with the one doctor that he allegedly has given favors to and taken money from. So why is there not been charges brought and investigations started? Bring on an independent investigator. Something needs to be done, and yet nothing seems to be happening. Only 14 of the 45 companies that did not give to the charity lobbied the agency during that same time period. So there's definitely something going on there. You can't say that there's not something fishy. And in the impropriety, or at least the perception of it, is something that requires Barack Obama and Attorney General Loretta Lynch to at least open some kind of an investigation into this, because it's highly irregular for nothing to happen, especially since Hillary Clinton's going to be running for president. Astounding is not the word for me, and it just brings my blood pressure right to the roof when I think about it. So 734-822-1600, if you want to call in, feel free. And to allay those people who think we're all about politics, I did have a story on today that wasn't politically motivated, and I thought it was kind of interesting because I'm not all about politics all the time. I call them from the science side. I'll put a couple of these on a week, and this one came out of RT.com. They're saying they may have solved the antimatter mystery. And if you don't know anything about matter, there's also something called antimatter, which is very rare to find in the universe. And when the two meet, there's bad things happen. But there is antimatter and there is matter. And they're now finding out that there's a reason there's matter and thus us being in existence. And it's that gamma rays actually do a spiral, and they do a left-handed spiral. So this is kind of a positive for you left-handed people. Gamma rays that do a left-handed spiral create matter, not antimatter. If it were right-handed spiral, it would create antimatter and God knows what the universe would even look like. But I kind of found that fascinating, Derek. You haven't even gone to the Daily Drift lately, have you, Derek?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, see, come on, really? Why wouldn't you go to thedailydrift.com and check out? I do put interesting stuff. See, it's not all about politics with me. Sometimes there's these good little... I like the stuff that's like Star Wars-y or star-related or space-related. You know, it goes back to my roots. I used to always get these science fiction books from my uncle, and he would hand them to me to read because he was a submarine sailor guy, and that's what they read all the time. And when I got them, there was always pictures of monsters, spaceships, and pretty ladies on the cover. So, of course, I read it as a teenager and never lost that affinity for Star Trek, Star Wars, and the whole nine yards. But pretty interesting article. So you can go to thedailydrift.com and you can read the whole article about spiral magnetic fields if that's your game or if you're into that. All right, so the other big story that came out this week, and it's not getting a lot of coverage, so we don't really know how true it is, and it's from Seymour Hersh. Now, Seymour Hersh is pretty well known, but also very controversial. A new bombshell report details how Obama lied to the country about the raid which killed Osama bin Laden. Now, they were saying they found Osama bin Laden by a doctor in Pakistan who was doing DNA testing while he was giving vaccinations, I think. And that they were able to trace to children that were related to him, and that's how they ended up finding Osama bin Laden in Pakistan, just down the road from what would be the equivalent of West Point, which a lot of people thought, well, that's crazy. How could he have been so close and the Pakistanis not have known that he was there? Well, Seymour Hersh is saying that after having talked to people inside Pakistan, and of course he can't name these sources because it would probably mean instant death, that there would be that there was something else going on. Do we have that track ready, Derek? It'll be the last one down there. Let's play this, and it'll kind of bring you up to speed. This is Seymour Hersh being interviewed by one of the Cuomo young men from CNN. Is it Mario? Not Mario. Andrew Cuomo, I think. Anyway, so he's interviewing him, and he's talking to him about whether or not this is real or if it's just a complete conspiracy being made up by Seymour Hersh. Let's play that track.
Now to defend the reporting, Mr. Hersh, thank you for joining us on New Day.
Okay.
The basic headline here is Pakistan knew where he was. They were keeping him there, and one of their own turned him over, essentially, to the U.S. Why do you believe that story, especially leaning so heavily on just one anonymous source?
Well, I don't think that's correct to say one anonymous source. The story says clearly that I was able to vet and verify information with others in the community. You know, it's very tough for guys still inside to get quoted extensively. And there are other people who America uses an awful lot of retired CIA people.
Okay. So they go on to talk about why would Pakistan have been so vehemently against us having done it and publicly berated the U.S. for going into their territory. And well, it's pretty simple. I mean, for me, it's a no-brainer. The Pakistanis couldn't admit that they were housing him and treating him well because they have so much of their population that is pro-Taliban, that is pro-Al-Qaeda. And to have said that they were actually working with us would have caused major problems for the Pakistanis. So, again, is this more just one more lie? Seymour Hersh is kind of a liberal guy, I think, and for him to come out against the Obama administration and this doesn't quite seem kosher unless there's some truth to the matter. And it certainly seems like it would be more plausible for some Pakistani officials to say, hey, we'll take that $25 million, some of us, and we'll split it up if you pay us. Because what could they say to the United States? If we're not going to help you, you're going to cut off our $1 billion a year in military funding that you give us. So it doesn't make sense to me in hindsight now that the Pakistanis would have not wanted him found because there's no way he could have not been there without some help. I don't think that's even possible at this point. But it's obviously that there's more to this story than what we were told by the administration. So I think I'll let more of this come out, and I think we'll see more of it as reports get verified. But I'm a betting man, if I were a betting man, I would say that there's probably some lying going on from the Obama administration on how Osama bin Laden actually died. And then our final story, there was some breaking news this morning. Mohamed Morsi, the ex-Egyptian president, who was the first, what they call the first popularly elected president. He was a Muslim Brotherhood member, and the Muslim Brotherhood was very proactive in getting rid of Mubarak, and was elected, but quickly began consolidating power, and the people turned against him, and the military of the Egyptians turned against him. He's been now sentenced to death, along with a bunch of other Muslim Brotherhood guys. An Egyptian court sentenced ousted President Mohamed Morsi and over 100 others to death Saturday over a mass prison break during the 2011 uprising that toppled Hosni Mubarak and later brought Morsi's Islamist movement to power. In what appears to be the first violent response to the sentence, suspected Islamic militants in Egypt's Sinai Peninsula gunned down three judges and their driver. All right, so you're about to see Egypt get a little ugly again if they proceed with this. But what's really telling is the fact that this is how out of whack the United States foreign policy was. We backed Mohamed Morsi. Barack Obama backed the Arab uprising. Hillary Clinton backed the Arab Spring and this uprising. And yet here, 2 years later, the man is going to be put to death by the people of Egypt. And we supported it. In what fairy tale land has the United States gotten itself into to be having said we backed this man at one time? And what does it say to us to have as many Muslim Brotherhood-related people in our own government at this time? We hear these stories about Barack Obama having lots of members of CARE and other agencies that are supposedly related to the Muslim Brotherhood, and yet we allow it. Where is the Congress standing up and saying we should not be associating with people who are related to the Muslim Brotherhood? We should not be giving appointments or approving appointments to people like that in Barack Obama's administration. What does that say to us? To have those kind of people in our government. So it was interesting. Breaking news today. Ousted Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi sentenced to death. So there you go. As we wind up this hour, I wanted to make sure that people are aware of the election. It's starting, and they need to be campaigning this year. And you can certainly go to the Daily Drift every day, www.thedailydrift.com, and read the information that I put on there, please, and share it on Facebook, share it on your social media sites, and help campaign this year. Let's get the right people in the office. All right, until next week, we'll see you.